Hello, and welcome to this live recording from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, this time from Pastor Graham Mabry. So sit back, listen in, and enjoy what God's got to say to you.
What a wonderful evening. What an amazing, amazing evening. I'm Graham Mabry, one of the pastors here, and what an amazing evening. I have the privilege of just saying a few words to the baptismal candidates, those who've been baptized tonight, and hopefully to everyone in the room through speaking to them. Tonight has had nothing whatever to do with religion. This night has nothing to do with religion. This has not got to do with a dogma or a creed or a way of thinking or, worse still, a set of rules. This night is all about relationship. Young person after young person, people of all those ages that have been baptized have said, "I know him." You've been listening to the language of relationship. And as one of the pastors here, I've been profoundly moved by the depth of the understanding, haven't you? And some of the profound things that have been said from the front here by those who've been baptized. I walked into church this morning with one of our seniors, John, and he now has Parkinson's. So I saw him coming down the street towards church and I thought, I'll just pause and make sure he gets across the road okay. And as we walked across the road, he said, "Oh, I get a bit wobbly now, Graham, because I also have low blood pressure." And I said, "Well, you don't really need that as well." And many of you would know John was here in between Christmas and New Year for the funeral of his wife. So in the recent times, his wife has gone to be with the Lord. So I'm walking with a man who has Parkinson's, who has low blood pressure, and who has recently lost his wife. And as we were walking along, he said to me, "Graham, the sufferings of this present life are nothing compared to the glory that waits us. Did you see the sunset last night?" And I said, "Actually, John, Merle and I were walking together and we did see it." And he said, "I stood and looked at that sunset and said, 'Oh God, you created all this. How much I have to be grateful for. How much I have.'" And as we walked along, I thought to myself, I am in preschool and I'm walking alongside one of the graduates in the School of Faith. I felt exactly the same when Jim Marsh, many of you would not know Jim, but he had a marvelous ministry, translated the scriptures into the Matu language. And when Jim went to be with the Lord way before lots of us wanted him to go, especially his family, and we happened to be singing that hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father." And his widow, Marge, was standing in the rows down there, arms up, face radiant, going, "Great is your faithfulness." Days after her loved husband's funeral. And I thought the same. So can I speak to you tonight, as one of the kindergarten, but words from one of the kindergarten that I trust are also from the Holy Spirit. We have a reading, and I'd love you to read it with me. It's from Jesus' words just before his crucifixion, the very important words he said to his friends, his disciples, just before he was crucified. It's just that much there. So we'll read it together. Ready? Here we go. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you." A huge convention was being held and a senior lady was making her way in, and one of the many ushers came up to her and said, "Where would you like to sit?" She said, "I want to sit as close to the front as possible." The usher said, "I wouldn't do that if I was you." "Why not?" she said. She said, "Well, the guy who's speaking next is one of the most boring pastors I have ever heard in my life." And she said, "Do you know who I am?" He said, "No." She said, "I am the mother of that pastor." He said to her, "Do you know who I am?" She said, "No." And he said, "Good. Who am I? Who are we? What is my identity? Why am I here?" When you ask those big questions of life and death, Who am I? What is my identity? Why am I? What is it all about, Alfie? When you ask those big questions, you always hear two voices, the liar and the Lord. The liar and the Lord. The liar is very widespread, very popular. And if you're not sure there's a liar running this world, how widespread is hype and spin? How much suspicion is there? How much do we distrust anything we see in media or hear from politicians? Our young people over-catered for an event some years back, so we had all these pizzas with no one to eat them, so they just dashed down, it was a New Year's Eve, they dashed down to the riverfront and began giving them out to people and just blessing them and saying, just enjoy. And time after time, people said, hang on, what's the catch? What do you want? There is the liar, and his lie and spins and hype runs through you. I was reading some research on marriage recently, and this woman who has researched hundreds of couples said that about 80% of the women filling out confidential questionnaires, if they had been married some time, when they looked at themselves in the mirror, their husbands thought they looked lovely. They simply saw their faults and needed reassurance. They just saw faults when they looked in the mirror. Do you know that tape that plays in our heads, seemingly? Most of us have a tape that plays in our heads. That one that plays in your head when you're staring at the ceiling at night. That one when you're driving in your car. You're stupid. It's too late. You're getting baptized. Who do you think you are? What is it? You'll never change. You know how you are. You'll never change. You will never be any different. I'm not sure what's on your tape. I know what's on mine. But who do you think might have written that script? What if there is a father of lies, like Jesus said? And what if that father of lies has us calling ourselves by the names he chose? Or he comes along and says, try this, do that, you can have that, not knowing that eventually that will have you. And if you do this, there's always a central theme. Everyone's doing it, you can try it, one won't hurt. If you do this, then you will really be alive. Do this and you will live. If you can just have it, I'm not sure what it is, another relationship, a better car, another house, a better address. But if you can have it, you can be happy and then you'll be alive. In 1959, I was a very young boy sitting at Claremont Showgrounds and Billy Graham was speaking. Dr. Billy Graham visited Perth. A couple in the room might be as old as me and might remember it. But when I can't remember a word he said in 1959, but I remember something he did and the words he said around that, excuse me. He took a rose from there was a lovely floral arrangement behind which he was speaking. He took a rose and he said, this rose is a beautiful rose. It is as beautiful as any on the rose bushes around this oval. In fact, it's probably better than many of them. There's a fundamental difference, though, between this rose and the ones on the rose bush. This rose is dying. It looks great, but it's dying because it's cut off from its life source. Went into a small boy's mind and has never, ever left. Jesus used a very similar metaphor just before he said those words we read together. He was with his disciples, but he used vines. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you're cut off from me, you wither. If you're cut off from me, you can't produce any fruit. You can do nothing. But if you live in me, and if I live in you, and the relationship is organic and strong, then you'll produce much fruit. You know, in the center of Jesus' life and teaching, and Jesus lived what he taught, he had 100% integrity. At the center of his life and teaching was one three-word message, and it's the first three words I want to give to our baptismal candidates and everyone else in the room tonight. It pulsated through his ministry. When he found his disciples at their fishing nets or their tax collectors' tables or at their medical practice, when Jesus found a young couple and everything had gone pear-shaped at their wedding breakfast, when he found a woman dragged out into humiliation and another woman who was at a well in the middle of the day trying to dodge humiliation, when he found a thief who was paying for his crimes and dying, when he found his own mother on his own cross,
There was one word, one three-word message that came over and over and over. Always the same three words. You are loved. You are loved. I heard it again and again when the baptismal candidate spoke to us tonight. And I just want them to know you are loved. He loved you before the creation of the world. The first words you read with me, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Before the world was created, Jesus loved you. Love brought him into this world to become human. Love prompted his Father to give him for us. Love took him to the cross. Love raised him from the dead. And love will bring him back for his bride. You are loved. Love that never fails, never gives up, never runs out. Flowing to us and through us like the sap in a vine. You are loved. God is not against you. Some people think if I walk into church, the place will collapse. Not at all. God is for you. God did not send his Son to condemn us, but to save us. Jesus said, as the Father's loved me, I love you now. Remain in my love. Peterson captures this beautifully. He says, make yourself at home in my love. Those of you who've been baptized tonight, those of you sitting here, make yourself at home in Jesus' love. Make yourself at home in his love. Peter, who baptized our first fruits from Kubalup, he was down at staff retreat and he said to me that they went on holidays to Albany. But when they came home, his little boy Michael said, you know, we had great time in Albany, but it's lovely to be home. Albany you visit, home is where you reside, where you abide. Make your home in God's love. Merle and I pop in on friends, but I live, thank God, with my bride. That's my home. I want to make my home in her love. I want to make my home in his. What does Jesus call us? His bride. His bride. There's a lovely phrase when he's praying to his Father just before the cross. He says, Father, I want those you've given me to be with me. Lord, I want them with me. Bring them home. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God. See, God is love. He doesn't have love or he could have other things. He is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God. And God lives in us. Love has the run of the house. Open every area of your heart and your life to his love. Open every room. We had Andrew come to do some filming for something for the church at our home this week, and we were very happy to entertain him in one section of the house, and had I allowed him to go into another section, justice would have been swift and terrible, because one section was ready, according to my wife's standards, where not one fleck of dust dare settle. The other looked fine to me, but she told me it was appalling, and woe betide me if I let him see it. Let love be in every section. Jonathan talked about this to us at staff retreat. Open every room of your life to love. When love has the run of the house, every room, we become more and more focused on him and more aware and available as to what he wants to produce in and through us. He said, you will produce fruit. And we become more aware that he can use us anywhere and everywhere. People we live with, people we work with, people we don't know, people who scare us, people we don't like. Who knows where Jesus wants to? We get into a new way of seeing the fruit that he's creating, the way he is taking us. And the second thing I want to say is not only are you loved, you are led. You're not just loved, you're led. Jesus said, make yourself at home in my love. And then he didn't leave us in any doubt as to how. He carried straight on saying, if you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love, just as I kept my Father's commands and I've made myself at home in his love. Obedience is the key to intimacy with Jesus. Obedience. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching and my Father will love him and we'll come and take up our residence with them. So there's one key question, those who've been baptized. There's only one. Is this what he wants me to do? Is this what he has asked me to do? In the matter of giving, if I give something in an offering, well, is it what he wants me to give? He may say, I don't want you to give anything to that, in which case giving $1 is disobedience and to obey is better than sacrifice. What is he asking me to do? What I'm trying to say to you tonight, as best I can trust God, it's what I think he wants me to say to you. Is this what he is asking me to do? In one of his many discussions with the religious, because the relationship and the religious don't get on well at all. And in one of his many discussions with the religious, Jesus talked of his death. He said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, you'll know that I am and that I do nothing on my own. I speak what the Father has taught me. He is with me because I always do what pleases him. Do you see that vine crawling across the wall there? Beautiful picture. How is it doing it? Very simple. It's facing the sun and it's yielding to the life force within it. Face the sun and be empowered by the life force within it. Dig into each moment with him, doing what he's asking me to do. We learn to watch, to wait, to sense, and then to act. Life, in a sense, I guess, becomes a prayer, watching the Father. Paul had the same experience as he was baptized. Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, he was baptized. It was a pretty dramatic meeting of Jesus. Like all our baptismal candidates tonight, he met Jesus first, then he was baptized. Jesus knocked him off his horse and blinded him. Michael, when he was speaking, said he was knocked off his high horse, and I think that's brilliant. He was. But he described being led by Jesus this way. He said this, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And I now live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. See, Jesus was crucified for me. Jesus was crucified for you. That means, as Mick explained to us a couple of weeks ago, every ounce of judgment, every ounce of wrath, every ounce of punishment was absorbed by him. God does not look at you with one trace of anger or fear. God looks at you with unqualified love. We swim in the vast ocean of God's mercy, and we live to let others be amazed at how wide his mercy is as it flows through us. My sin, Horace Spafford wrote, my sin, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole is nailed to his cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. But there's another mystery and miracle. Not only was he crucified for you, for me, I was crucified with him. In some mysterious way, Graham Mabry, who was such a mess when Jesus finally got hold of his life, was crucified with him. I was able to nail everything to do with my passions and my desires, everything connected with getting my own way, everything pushed on me mindlessly by my culture, that could be nailed to his cross. But you know, the one way you can't die on your own is crucifixion. You can do your feet, you can do one hand, but you can't do the other one. I couldn't do it on my own. And I wasn't asked to do it on my own. God didn't ask me to pull me up by my shoelaces. God isn't asking those who've been baptized tonight, now off you go and I'll be watching and just see how you get on. Did you notice every single time, no matter who was baptizing, the second sentence was, will you, as the Holy Spirit helps you, follow Jesus? You see, he didn't ask us to struggle along on our own. The final thing that I believe he wants me to say to you, and with this I'm done, you're loved, you're led, you are empowered. You are empowered. We experience his deep and abiding presence by the Spirit he gave us. What does it mean? Well, it means the presence that glowed out of Jesus on the mountain. Jesus went up the mountain with three of his disciples and glowed like the sun. Suddenly what was in him was seen. That same presence is in you. His deep and abiding presence. His power. The Greek word is dunamis. It's dynamite. And it's never on its own. It's never apart from the Holy Spirit. It's part of Him. It's intrinsic to Him. But going into life after baptism, that radiance is in you. The power that emanated from Him can flow through you. The power that turned water into the best wine. The power can transform you. The power that multiplied a few loaves and a few fish into a feast for a multitude can multiply your life and make you bread for others in that sense. Multiply His love and grace through you. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. You're loved, you're led, you're empowered. Your conduct empowered by the Holy Spirit. Hear these words from the Message. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let's make sure we do not just hold it as an idea or a sentiment, but let's work out its implication in every detail of our lives. I wonder if you've heard His voice tonight saying, follow me, follow me. I'm not dead, I'm alive. The liar is a liar, telling you you'll never change, I can transform you. Little woman touches the hem of His garment. She's not supposed to touch a holy man, and her life is transformed. You can do the same. Can we pray together? There have been some very powerful words spoken by those who've been baptized. We've sung some wonderful truth. Can I just give you a moment or two to listen to His voice? Just be with God in this moment. If you close your eyes, that'd be great. Just as a, obviously to help you focus, but also just for the privacy of others, that would be wonderful if you do that. Thanks. In a moment, I want to close in prayer. But I feel it would be maybe helpful to give you an opportunity to respond in a very simple way. And that is just by popping your hand up. We're not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front, anything like that. It's just if, in maybe, Nick said, maybe you're hearing the Lord say, it should be you being baptized. Follow me in this. Take that step of faith. I love you. I lead you. I empower you. Maybe you're just for the first time trying to sort this stuff out and thinking, there's something going on here, I'm not quite sure, but I sense love is calling me. I sense the love here. I sense a call to come home, and I want to find out more. And maybe for some of you, you know that you're like that rose. You know it all, but you're just cut off from the source of life. And you hear Him saying, let your roots go deep into me. Come back to me. Turn back to me. Let my love flow through you. Just if that's, I'm going to say the prayer in about 10 seconds, but if you'd like to be included in that, just like the little woman reached out and touched His robe, just pop a hand up, put it straight back down again. Thank you. And any others that are wanting, thank you. That you're saying, yep, Lord, you're speaking to me. I want to be included in that. Thank you. Any others just before we pray? And if you didn't put your hand up, of course, you still touch Him. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Christianity is not about religion. It's not about a dogma. Although it does have a beautiful, logical, organic, whole, sane wisdom to it. Christianity is about the fact that you are alive, you have conquered death, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you love us. And that our story can be found in your story. We can find our place in your story. So Lord, we say tonight, we need forgiveness for the things we've done wrong. Please forgive us. We need healing for the things that have been done wrong to us. Please heal us. Holy Spirit, come and empower us. Let your fire burn within us. Let us be being filled with your Spirit. In your name, amen and amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. If you'd like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, then you can contact the team at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church by calling the office during office hours on 9329 1777. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to your company again soon. God bless.